Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I have special guests with me, Mrs. Johanna Verneau, wife of Reverend Jacques Verneau, and we've been talking about their story all the week. Also, their daughter is here, Liliane Rude, who is our very dear friend from a long, long time, and we've been going to Brussels with her for many years. There I met you and your husband in Brussels at their home.
Yes.
And oh, what a man of God. I've been in a meeting with him in Switzerland. I've seen the power on him, a man of miracles. Now, he was born into a missionary family in Gabon, Africa. His father had been born again under Sadhu Sundar Singh, and then he had come to the baptism with the Holy Spirit under the ministry of George Jeffries and Douglas Scott. He grew up in Gabon, and his father, when his father was first sent there to the village in the heart of Africa, they were ready. They had already been prepared by the Holy Ghost, and they were under conviction, and when he came to preach then, they were ready to receive the Lord. There they had miracles. The witch doctor didn't like him, and the witch doctor came to their hut to do them harm. And when they came, they said, where were all those white men, did they call them? Yeah. Men in white?
Yeah. In white.
Big men in white who were all around your hut, and we couldn't come near you. So there were miracles, and Jacques Verneau, who is Johanna's husband, he was brought up with the miraculous. His parents wanted him to have a Bible school education, so he went back to Europe, and he went to Bible school at ITEC, which was a school...
IBTI.
I wrote it down here and then can't find it. IBTI, which was a school that grew up out of the ministry of Rhys Howells. Rhys Howells got it in his spirit, you know, the man of prayer. He got it in his spirit that there should be Bible schools. So young Mr. Verneau, Jacques Verneau, born in the heart of Africa, monkey boy, I explained to you yesterday why I called him that, and you need to listen all this week. Go online to billybrim.org and listen to this week's radio on archive. And Jacques Verneau went to Bible school, and in Bible school in just a place south of London. I think he fell in love, and it wasn't with you. No. Who was it with?
He fell in love with the daughter of the director, because he, to make some money, he was the taxi driver for the Bible school, and he brought that young girl every time to have piano lessons. And so he got to know her and felt in love with her.
And he asked her to marry him?
Yes, his father didn't like it, because he was a singer and she was music player. He wanted to keep him. And
keep
he
her.
Wanted also, yeah, he wanted to keep her, but he wanted also to keep Jacques. He wanted also that he was to got develop the music, but his father didn't want it. Jacques' father took him back. He said, no, you come back. He was just 20.
Did he ask her to go with him to Africa?
Yes, but didn't do that. She didn't want to.
So she refused to go to Africa.
Yes, and then he caught another girl, in pastor's daughter. And she made him waiting 1 year before to give him the answer. And after 1 year, she told him that she was not going to go to Africa.
She wasn't going to go to Africa.
She didn't want to marry a poor preacher.
She didn't want to marry a poor preacher, especially one who lived in a hut in Africa.
And he made sure to tell them that he was called to Africa and that that was his life. And so that was that important for him when he shared his heart to the young ladies. To the young ladies, yes.
This is my call, mm-hmm. and will you go with me to my call? Mm-hmm. And they said no.
And it was very hard for him. I remember him telling us, his daughters, about it. And he says, oh, I'm telling you, a young man can really fall in love. Even at the age of 20, he was saying, and it was very hard for him. But the calling was more important. He knew about the importance of the calling.
So if what young women would not help him in that call, mm-hmm. the call was more important.
Yes, he knew that.
Obey the call. You told me, Liliane,
yes.
that when they had the thousands of people coming to his memorial, that, and they gave the stories and the story of his life. You told me that what you came away with was a simple phrase, and what was it?
It was the importance of obeying the call. I could see that my dad, Papa, did for him what counted was the importance of obeying the call of God.
And you saw these thousands of people.
Yes, yes.
And you saw that even the government said, we've lost someone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it was all in his obedience mm-hmm. to the call.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He was consumed with the call.
He was consumed with the call. What, he went home at age 79?
He was almost 78.
At 78.
He was almost 79.
Almost 79.
Okay, sorry.
And he gave his life for this call. Now, he had come back to Europe. Reminds me of Isaac, you know, a bride, seeking a bride for Isaac.
That's right.
And so he came. He was at Bible school, and you're in France.
Yes.
And you are there, and you are going to go to Africa, the heart of Africa. You have been told to prepare for 6 years, and you did your preparation. The pastor who confirmed it, really, by the Holy Ghost, that you did have a call early on in the beginning of the 6 years, they told you about this missionary couple in Africa. Then when you're in France, is that right? You're staying with this lady. This is when you hear from Jesus and all these things. And this lady tells you, well, you told her you're going to the heart of Africa. And she tells you that her best friends are the Vernos.
Yeah, the pastor wife of Nice from the Riviera. And yes.
And you told her. And she said, did you write them that you're coming? And you said, no. I'm not going to ask them for a job because it's the Holy Ghost who's directing me. Yes. And she said, would it be all right if I write them?
Yes.
So she wrote them, and they wrote back that they weren't interested in this young Dutch girl coming.
Yes.
But that didn't bother you?
No, no.
Not at all?
Not at all. I was thinking, well, the Lord knows that if it is not the Vernos, the Lord will send me somewhere else in the heart of Africa.
And so you're getting ready then to go. You don't have the money to go, but you know it's time to go. Someone prophesies to you, it will be earlier than you think. And what do you know? A letter arrives from the Vernos that they do want you to come. And it just so happened that their son Jacques was in Europe. So where you were staying, the home you were, and it took a supernatural act to get you the money, you told me yesterday, and you cried when you told it between the broadcast, that your mother sold her jewelry.
My sister.
And your sister sold their jewelry. And your mother, who was a very proper woman, very elegant, always went to the beauty salon, had her hair done. She stopped going to the beauty salon. She sold her jewelry, as did your sisters, to finance your way to Africa because you didn't go. A mission board was not sending a young single girl
That's
to
right.
Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be the Holy Ghost. You know, I worked with Brother Sumrall, Lester Sumrall, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I did some of his books, and he said, mission boards don't send missionaries. The Holy Ghost sends missionaries. And so you knew the Holy Ghost was sending you. He provided the money. And where you were staying in France, they said, well, oh, how, this is a good thing, because this young man, this Jacques Vernot, he's coming here. And he'll meet you, and he'll tell you all the things you need for Africa. And then what did you say?
I say, I don't want to meet that young man. I don't, otherwise people are thinking I come because there is a nice young looking man. I didn't know he was nice looking, but
he was, though, very handsome.
He was, but I said, I don't want to meet him. And the brother who was professor at La Sorbonne in Paris, he insisted for me to stay, but I prayed about it and I came down with my suitcases. I said, if you don't bring me to the train station, I take a taxi. I'm leaving.
So you wanted to get away before this young
Vernon
man came.
Yes, and after he decided to bring me, and I said, well, Jacques Vernon is perhaps now at the door, but I must not see him. And my husband-to-be, he was very happy that he didn't see me.
Because he didn't want to see you either.
He didn't want to see me either.
Why?
Because he had met some very strict Dutch ladies at the Bible school, and he didn't like those Dutch girls.
So he knew you were Dutch.
And he knew I was a Dutch girl. He was happy that I was not there. And
he was not interested.
He was not interested in this Dutch girl. He didn't like Dutch girls.
No.
And so then you went on, and you actually flew On the very day, July 4th, was it?
1956.
1956, which was 6 years later, to the day and the hour, when the Spirit of the Lord had told you to go to the heart of Africa and for you to prepare for 6 years. So, you're flying to Africa and you land in Africa, and what happens?
Well, I went at the family van.
Did they meet you?
No, one of the pastors said we are living in the jungle.
They lived in the heart
so
of the jungle.
So I had to take in this very small airplane and came at the...
A little hopper. Little, uh-huh.
Yes, and...
you came to the village.
Yes, and then some weeks later...
The mission station.
Mission station. They had a mission station in those
days.
And
the name was Elin.
And then, E-L-I-M.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then... after some months, their son came back. Everyone was happy, was going to see him. And I was thinking, oh, la la, I don't like to see him.
You didn't want to see him, but you were working there at the mission station.
I was helping his mother. His mother was also a nurse and a midwife.
Mm-hmm.
I was there, real more social work I was doing. I didn't go to a Bible school. God didn't tell me so.
No, you prepared in the medical.
Yes. Uh-huh. Anyhow, when we met... yesterday someone asked me, what did you think? Well, I didn't think great so much because I thought he was very British. He had studied in, and he said with an English-British accent, bonjour, mademoiselle. And I thought that was...
So he spoke French to you in a British accent.
Yes, and I didn't like that so much.
And you're speaking French to him with a Dutch accent.
Yes. Anyhow, the Lord brought us together, and because... later, we talked a lot together, and we had the same vision. The vision, what we had not to make, to start missions, but to, as the Apostle Paul, started churches.
Okay, so the mode of the day was to start mission stations because they needed protection, whatever.
That's right.
But he saw in his heart that Apostle Paul started churches.
That's it.
And you saw in your heart that Apostle Paul started churches.
It was a new season.
And it was a new season.
The
was
Lord
beginning.
Was speaking to
so
their
how
hearts.
Did you figure out that you should do this together? When did you fall in love?
Well, that came my little. And it's almost gone.
Well, it's almost gone the time, so you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to find out when they fell in love. And then you're going to have to wait till tomorrow to see how they followed the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go on with some of those things that happened. If we need to, we'll do a day or two of next week, retape a day or two, because we want to get to the life, the extremely supernatural life and influential life of Jacques Verneau. And I am encouraging them every step of the way to write a book. And so that Brandon and people like you can hear that God still leads in the same way, and to trust God, he'll bring it out. She always had faith in God that he was going to bring it out all right.
Yes.
So we're going to be back here tomorrow to talk about that. And this is Billy Brim. And I want to say the Verneau, since you grew up Verneau.
Sure.
And Brandon saying, we will tune back in tomorrow and see what the Lord hath done.